This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Everything was working out. All the things that we were talking about that would make you believe that the Yankees had an opportunity to come back down 3-0. Aaron Judge hits a home run. Back-to-back in a belly-to-belly with Jazz Chisholm. You've got Gerrit Cole on the mound. He's throwing a no-hitter. This was it. They're empty in the tank. They're ready to go back to L.A. It's 5-0. And then the fifth inning happens, one of the most inexcusable, embarrassing, pathetic performances in a World Series that will be seared into the brains of Yankee fans forever. Now, they weren't going to come back and win this series because nobody's done it, and it was a very slim chance, but to go out like that on your home turf and, by the way, regain the lead and blow that too? You could not write a worse story for the Yankees to end their season. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. You know, I'm not a Yankee fan.
You were yesterday, right? When you said we.
I didn't really say that, but I'm not a Yankee fan. You know that. And that has been well chronicled on this program over the last 18 years. But I will say this. I am a baseball fan, and I am a New York fan. And there were guys that I was rooting for. I told you when this whole thing started, the World Series started and the Yankees made it, that I was rooting for Aaron Boone and for Brian Cashman because, you know, it's just relentless. People are relentless, and this radio station can be relentless in regard to who they are, what they've done here, and they have been successful. They haven't won a World Series, and some people would judge their success on the World Series, and together they haven't done that. Yesterday, as you just said, and as you just pointed out, well, it had to be about as embarrassing as it gets. Now, it's one thing to drop a fly ball. It's another thing to be caught in between and not make a great throw to third base. Those are physical errors that, you know, they've made throughout the years, and it's been sloppy, and it's just part of the game, and I almost can actually understand those things. What I don't understand is your $36 million pitcher who's in the midst of a great outing. Now, who has been victimized by those two errors? For sure. All he has to do is cover first base. And you have a guy at first base who could just maybe run as if the pitcher's not there and not just assume somebody's going to be doing their job when all you have to do is your job as well. And this is a guy who gave the big speech to the team, Anthony Rizzo. And I was shocked. I was really angry last night. And I was angry for Yankee fans. And I thought that I felt like I was a vehicle for them to just
let it all out. You know what I mean? And what that play between Cole and Rizzo exemplified in this World Series was just how much more it actually meant to the Dodgers to win the damn thing. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I felt like there was never a moment in this series or the series prior to this. You want to say something about Dave Roberts letting a game go with the bullpen and managing the bullpen in different ways and recognizing that, you know, you need four wins. You're not going to get it all in one game. So let a game go by the wayside. Okay, you could have a problem with that. But the just, it's inconceivable to me that Gerrit Cole would have done that. And then, you know, he comes out the next inning, and I believe he comes out the next inning because he realizes that he just actually had one of the major screw-ups in Yankee playoff history. And he is here to be the guy that was on that mound throwing that no-hitter.
Right, and he also came out early in game one, and it's like you got to empty the tank. It's elimination. You know, the thing for me, I know that people, and you brought it up, how, you know, Rizzo could have charged the ball. It had more sense of urgency. But it seemed to me, and, you know, we could sit here and talk about, you know, baseball fundamentals all we want. But it seemed to me, this is a guy who's played first base at a very high level for a long time, that ball was spinning in an odd way, and he wanted to make sure that he secured it and was able to get the ground ball so he wasn't charging it because it was sort of came off weird off the bat, and he made the right assumption that a guy who's 35 years old, who has pitched in big games for a majority of his career, is going to be there. And by the way, like, even if he thought, Gerrit Cole, like he said after the game, that I thought it was hit harder, how many times have we seen when that play is executed properly, the pitcher sprints over to the bag, and the first base will be like, no, I got it. And then he steps aside.
You always
have to be there, regardless.
It's the number one play that they start with in spring training. It's that there's no excuse for it other than, I don't know, it's called a brain cramp, it's a brain fart, I don't know what it is. But it just was the icing on the cake for that inning. Because dropping a fly ball, throwing the ball to third base, which I think Anthony Volpe made the right play, just didn't make the right throw for whatever reason. And then on top of it, they could have gotten out of all of this had they just done the most basic play in baseball from a defensive standpoint. Ball hit the first base, pitcher covers first base. We killed Edwin Diaz for not doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that play right there just typified the entire Yankee season. And, you know, they had the second most wins behind the Dodgers. And maybe they were so good offensively that they can bludgeon their way all the way to the World Series. And if they would have lost the game 2-1 last night, and it would have been like a ninth inning home run or something by Freddie Freeman, or, you know, just a good, solid, you know, grinded out baseball game as opposed to the fifth inning and what happened last night, I think I could take my hat off to the Dodgers and say congratulations.
Well, I mean, also,
but this is ridiculous.
No,
it just typifies the entire Yankee season where they were sloppy on the bases, sloppy in the field. And you know, like, and whose feet does that lie at? Is it the
star players, man. I'm sorry. Like, you know, and we're going to get probably a ton of calls today about, you know, Aaron Boone's a manager. They don't have any fundamentals. These guys have been playing baseball since they were 5 years old. This is all the stuff that all of us who played Little League and whatever else up to high school baseball were taught when we were children. So it's not Aaron Boone's
job.
But you know
what pisses me off more than anything? Like, I can hear the agent talking to when Gerrit Cole's a free agent, and the agent's talking to, you know, Brian Cashman, you know, is it Boris or somebody? It's Boris, I guess. You know, look, you're getting the best arm in baseball. You're going to get a good bulldog. He's going to go out there. He's going to be, you know, the example, you know, for all your players, and he's going to set the tone and, you know, all that BS that the agents spew out there. And then in the biggest moment, in the biggest game, the laziness is on display. I couldn't sleep last night, and I'm not even a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
I'm not a Yankee fan.
No, I know, and I don't think this evaporates everything that Gerrit Cole has done good for the Yankees. Did win the Cy Young last year. I mean, he pitched.
I don't care about individual awards.
All right, let me just, Jesus, man, jumping all over me. I can't even get the full sentence out. But I mean, this is horrible. This is going to be on his resume forever. But I mean, signing Gerrit Cole was the right thing to do. I mean, you can't now go back and be like, oh, you shouldn't have signed Gerrit Cole.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying I can hear the agent yapping at the GM, and then the GM standing up there going, we're paying this guy $36 million a year. He can't cover goddamn first base.
Okay, well,
you can't do it.
If we're gonna do that, let's do it all. You're paying a guy $40 million. He can't even catch a ball to end an inning, and he goes off the tip of his glove because he's some, for whatever reason, looking to the infield and not looking at the ball. I mean, we could just keep doing that.
That's a physical mistake.
I mean, it's just insane. That's
just a physical mistake, and, you know, just...
Both are completely unacceptable in these situations.
Two are physical mistakes, and the other one is just a colossal mental error. Colossal.
Yeah.
I mean, they had this game in the, not the bag, but, you know, I mean,
no,
he's pitching his ass off, and he just doesn't do. And again, I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. I am so, like, lost for words to explain this.
Could have fooled me. So I think... The loss for words to explain it is he told you why, and he was dead wrong. He thought that the ball was hit harder. It was not hit harder, and he stopped when he shouldn't have stopped. But here's the other part of this whole thing. They went back and they got the lead. So as I'm watching this, I'm like, man, the Dodgers came all the way back. They tied. But I felt like they needed to get the lead in that inning, and then they were going to finish him off at that point. And when they came out with a tie after all that, and yes, they still got five runs, I'm thinking, man, you know, Yankees still home team. They've been hitting the ball. I still think that the Yankees are going to win this game, even after all of that. And they do. They take the lead. And then what happens? They cough that back up. Walks, bases loaded, all of this stuff. Couple sack flies, getting those guys in from third base with less than two outs, with the bases loaded and nobody out. So, I mean, it was, the Dodgers were just relentless. And once that little door opening for them, they rush right through. Because it's not just the Yankee mistakes. It's the opportunities that are given to the Dodgers that they take advantage of. Freddie Freeman, of course he gets a base hit. Of course he does. Every single time. You got your words back?
I mean, I'm still disgusted, man. I am. And I just, I'm sick to my stomach this morning, and it's not even the team that I root for. I wanted more baseball. I'm not ready to, like, just give it up. I wanted to see if the Yankees could pull it off. And you know what? Maybe if they win this game, maybe they do. I don't know, especially because we all thought, going into yesterday's game, oh, maybe Aaron Judge is turned on now because of the RBI single the night before. And guess what? Boom, bomb, first inning. Great. Awesome. Off to a great start. 5-0. No hitter being pitched. And then just the idiot stick comes out. And all of a sudden, it's one miscue after another. And it really does encapsulate. You know, this Yankee team probably should have won 110 games. But it didn't because it was so, I don't know, mind-numbingly unfundamental throughout the season. And I said that unfundamental like our guy Brandon Tierney would say.
Fundamental.
Yes, it's unfundamental.
I don't
even know if that's a word, but I just... It's mind-boggling to me that in a World Series that you would do that.
Yeah,
that
and happen. The things that we talked about of actually believing that they could come back, and we said all this yesterday. It was like, all right, when do you start to really believe? And it wasn't just about winning the game and going back to L.A. It was about how they were going to do it.
Remember,
and I was like, well, if Aaron Judge wakes up, imagine if he actually has a huge game. And not only does he hit a home run, he also makes this incredible catch slamming into the wall. And here I am, and I'm doing all the silly, like, baseball connection things. I'm like, wow, like, he hurt himself out in L.A. slamming into the wall. And now he's here in a World Series, and he's at Yankee Stadium. He slammed into a wall. It's coming full circle.
You were thinking that?
I was. And they even brought it up on the broadcast. That. Well, Smoltz said it, and it made me think about it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's a bird, you moron.
And I was like, man, I was like, those Monument Park ghosts, they lifted them up. You could actually see the hands, the dead hands of Yankee center fielders of the past. Joe DiMaggio lifting up.
Oh, my God.
Aaron Judge.
It's a bird, you moron.
I'm thinking, here it is, man. This is going to happen. They're going to go back to L.A. They're going to get tight, the Dodgers. It's going to happen. But it didn't happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Doesn't really matter what it looks like as long as you win the game. I mean, I'm sure everybody over there at Florham Clark is relieved this morning, especially after that first half of football. Oof. With Malachi...
Corley
doing his thing. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to see boneheaded plays like that. I mean, this game shouldn't even have been close because C.J. Stroud played terrible.
Yeah.
And obviously he was missing two of his most important wide receivers, and Aaron Rodgers had his two most important wide receivers. And, you know, I want to take you back to the Giants and Steelers game for one second.
Sure.
George Pickens goes up with the ball. He's in the end zone. He comes down. His right foot hits twice, but his left foot never hits. No touchdown. Mm. Last night, Garrett Wilson makes one of the great catches you will ever see. It's reminiscent of OBJ, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down with the ball. They rule him out of bounds. But then they go back and they replay it. Somebody in New York decided that the shin hit before the knee hit.
Yep.
Shin. Look. As somebody around here, and I guess part of me wants, I'm rooting for them, so I want that call to be a touchdown. I'm a former quarterback. I love offensive plays. But, I mean, honestly, the week before, George Pickens' right foot touches twice, no other part of his body touches, and they call it out of bounds.
Well, it was, though, because he had to get 2 feet, right? Or a knee or whatever. But
Hold on. I know. The whole John Madden, one knee equals two feet.
Yeah, so whatever. He didn't. He's got
But 2 feet don't equal 2 feet, especially if it's only 1 foot.
I'm confused now.
Did you see the play?
Of course I saw the play.
No, I'm talking about the Pickens play.
Yes. It's a Giants Steelers game. Why would I not see the play?
Well, I don't know.
And we talked about it the next day a lot. So here's the difference to me. So 1 foot touches twice, right? You have to get both feet in. He didn't get the other foot in. Not a touchdown. Last night, it was determined that 1 foot was down and then a shin was down. So if the shin was down, it was a touchdown. Now, if you agree with that or not, I don't know, but I mean, feel like that was the rule.
Let me ask you, what is the knee doing?
The knee didn't touch it.
So that's...
The knee didn't touch it.
I have to say... I'm happy again.
Well, I mean, are you not seeing it? I mean, I know it's like
I thought it was simultaneously, but I guess because the knee. I'm just saying, I'm happy that they called it a touchdown because I wanted Garrett to have that that catch, and because it was remarkable, and you could see the athleticism of it and everything. The other thing that was nice is that his first touchdown pass, he actually caught while he was running.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing, too, to watch him score a touchdown that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this last night, and I'm thinking, that's out of bounds. That's out of bounds. And all of a sudden, it comes back. He's in bounds because his shin hit first.
Well, I actually think...
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Al, and he's actually shaking his head. What do you think here?
I'm with you on that one. I don't understand. He didn't get his knee in. It was either 2 feet or a knee or an elbow.
Well, they say shin is the same. The shin down is the same as
a knee. I never heard that till this morning.
Well, it doesn't mean it's not the rule. You also never heard of Malachi Coley until this morning. It doesn't mean he wasn't born.
That's true.
I don't know how that is an argument. I mean, it's part of the rule.
I mean, does it say in the rule book, or are we just assuming they said it should?
No, it does say it. I've heard that before, and they said on the broadcast because it's part of the rule. So, I mean, it's a silly thing, but it's shin is the same as the knee.
So, did you see the play in Pittsburgh versus the Giants?
Yes.
All right, so his right foot touches twice. His left foot never hits the ground. I mean, I don't know. To me, George Pickens was more in bounds than Garrett Wilson.
Not according to the rules.
I want them both to be touchdowns because I'm an offensive player, and the more touchdowns, the better. And it's better for everybody's fantasy football team out there.
So you want the rules to be changed?
I guess, because there's so many nuanced things that happen in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was shocked when they came back and said that he was in bounds. That's all I'm saying.
Because you don't like the rules?
No, it's not because I don't like the rules. Because I thought I saw his knee come down out of bounds.
Did you change your opinion when you saw something differently here? Or no?
It's still, to me, it's like right on the cusp of like, what is that? I did not see any post-game press conferences. I'm sure Jerry will have all of it. But I didn't hear anything from the Houston Texans side as to whether or not they thought that was really a touchdown.
Yeah, and it's anything, too, but like a hand. Right? Like, isn't that part, like, if a hip comes down, like, all those things are part of it. Like, a shin is part of it. It just is. I mean, it's crazy. We went through, well, what is a catch? What's not a catch? I mean, to me, this one's pretty...
obvious.
In the sense of what they called. Now, you could disagree with the shin coming down first and not ahead of the knee if you see it that way. Yeah. But as far as the rules go, it's pretty cut and dry. They say on this one... 1 foot hitting twice does not count. That's a college touchdown. The other foot didn't get in. This one, they saw that the shin hit before the knee, so that counts as a touchdown. That's what it is.
It's bizarro for me, and I'm sure that the Texans probably see it differently than
we do. Why is it bizarro? It's just the rules.
The fact that both things happened on back-to-back, like one happened on Monday night, the other one happened on Thursday night, it's just strange, that's all. I don't know. I think I understand like the fans' frustration with the whole thing. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess. Like I said, I'm happy for the touchdown, and I wish George Pickens.
But what are they frustrated about? They're frustrated about that they don't like the way that the rules are.
I guess the way the rules are enforced or not enforced. I don't.
Look, but they were enforced here properly.
Okay, don't argue with me. I'm just giving
you... Okay, so I won't argue with you. So that you could no. talk about this no, in a way no. that I totally disagree with, and I won't argue with
it. No.
Is that what you'd like?
No, just relax for one second. I'm happy that it was a touchdown because I thought it was an incredible catch.
Okay.
It really, truly was an incredible catch. And it ended up helping, obviously, the Jets win a game. So that's... And it was ruled a touchdown. So I was happy for that. I'm just thinking it from the Texans' point of view, from a Texans fan's point of view. We see it from this point of view.
No, I see it completely objectively.
All right.
I see it completely objectively. It's clear as day on the replay. The shin is down before the knee. That's what they called. So that was the right call.
I'm wondering if I'm trying to remember, and I've done 1,000 games. I feel like I've watched 1,000 games. I have to say... that was about as close as it was. And I would say I was probably 50-50 on it. But I was surprised when they came back and they awarded him a touchdown.
Well, the fact that because they called it incomplete on the field, I would say that it was a little surprising as well. But that one zoom-in replay that CBS Sports Network has, is the one where I said, wow, that's the one that they saw and they changed
it. All right, I'm just, I see the shin is down.
Before the
knee. But let me ask you a question.
White?
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
Where does the shin start and end?
I mean, below the knee. So, and
would you say that the top of the shin landed out of bounds?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because the knee starts and the knee is above. So,
I mean, you know, like I see where the knee is.
But look,
I clearly see where the knee is, but I think at the top of the shin came down out of bounds.
Okay. Well,
I don't know where the shin starts and ends over there in New York. I'm not over there in the war room, as they say. I'm not sure. I mean, do you think that they have a medical advisor over there?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy the Jets won the game. I am. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they won the game, and I'm happy that that catch was ruled a catch, and I think that they did it right.
And now I will say the first touchdown by Garrett Wilson, that was something, you know, because Aaron, he put it out there, and Garrett was getting undercut, and he came very close to being picked. But the fact that he caught that ball full speed ahead, the ball was just out in front of him, snags it with one hand, and runs it into the end zone. That's the Garrett Wilson I really want to see.
Yeah, and you hadn't seen any of that this season. Nothing. Even the games that he had where he had a bunch of catches, he really wasn't anything spectacular. And last night it was spectacular. And you had Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams having that connection.
Did you see the catch by Devontae Adams where he gets hit and it looks like he gets hurt?
Yeah.
All right, so that is the connection between Rodgers and Adams in that situation, because Adams knew what the coverage was and knew where he was going to be. And if you see, he slows down and stops, almost stops. And Aaron reads it perfectly. So that's the in-sync part of Rodgers and Adams on a play like that. And it was a perfectly thrown ball, and it was a perfectly run route. And that, you love to see that, and that's something that we really hadn't seen. And then you saw a couple back shoulder throws last night that were connected on, because that's something that they've had problems with. You know, they've completed some of them. But I would say that thank God for that second half, because that first half was basically unwatchable with, unfortunately, all the injuries, the flags, the piss poor play of both teams, both, you know, offenses fumbling the ball, stumbling around. I mean, it was basically unwatchable.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ted and Pelham. What's going on, Ted?
What's up, guys? Horrible game aside, can we talk about how the Yankees played New York, New York, while the Dodgers celebrated on our turf?
Yeah, so I've, of course, seen this and I've heard it and I watched it last night. They do that after every game, after every loss, but in that situation where someone is celebrating a World Series championship. Now, I would have not played it if they were celebrating an ALDS or ALCS as well, but you can't play it at home when your season ends with the Dodgers celebrating on your field. Like, I know it's a tradition, but there's just sometimes you got to be like, this isn't, we're not doing it today, you know?
You got to give them to Liza Minnelli at least, you know? Come on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like if Jerry had actually died on the golf course that day and it was a Thursday. Like, I couldn't have come in here and done Feel Good Friday. You know what I'm saying? I would have to be like, even though we do Feel Good Friday every Friday, but like Jerry's dead, so I can't do Feel Good Friday.
That would be a hard one. That would be a hard show to do.
Right.
But as we started extolling the virtues of the great Jerry Recco and what he has accomplished as a broadcaster, what he's accomplished as a part of our team here at WFAN, and how he ended up killing himself, I think that that would have made for a very emotional, moving show.
Yeah, it would have. But my point is, like, even with tradition, there's things that happen where you got to get away from it because it's the right thing to do. And last night, the Yankees, even though they play New York after every game, no matter the outcome, last night, it's not the time to play it. You got to put that in the back pocket for a night. You know?
Yep.
Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good, Richie. What's up?
Yeah, Boomer, I do agree with you. I thought the series was kind of was lost in that first game.
Yeah.
And obviously last night was egregious. I mean, you don't survive plays like that, what happened in that particular inning. But, you know, you mentioned about maybe somebody coming out. I think at that point, sometimes these guys jump out of the dugout when it counts 3-0, and sometimes I'm saying, why is the coach out there? There's a time where he needed a deep breath at that point. Would it have made a difference? I don't know. Bottom line, yes, bad play, but it's 5-1. You still got the lead. Get out of it. I thought it was imperative that they got out with the lead, even with the Freeman hit, who's been unbelievable. But the Teoscar Hernandez play with two strikes on him, major, to tie that game. Had the feeling, how do you bounce back from this? Bottom line, they did. He gave them two more innings. They kept them in the game because I thought at that point it was going to be kind of a landslide for the Dodgers. They stopped them. They took the lead. They had it set up. Canely was horrendous. And obviously Weaver's been spent, but he could have got through the ninth. So the eighth and ninth was set up. And yet, that, yeah, obviously that fifth inning was obviously tough to overcome.
Yeah, I mean,
but
they took the lead, and then they blew them to take that. Again. Yeah.
Yeah, Richie, you too. I said it before. I thought that the Dodgers, if they were going to win the game, they had to come all the way back, take the lead 6-5 in that inning in the fifth. They didn't. And then the Yankees, I was like, man, the Yankees are hitting today. It feels different. They're going to come back still, and then they take the lead. I'm like, they're still going to win.
Yeah, but,
didn't happen that way.
Like I said, Canely was brutal, but it should have never gotten to that.
No.
Because I do believe that, and I also believe that, you know, Gerrit Cole stayed in that game because of that major mistake he made. Like, I just felt like he knew that he made the mistake. He knew that it led to this blow-up inning, and he wanted to go back out there, and he wanted to be, you know, the bull that he was.
Well, I mean, also, he's pitching really well, and it's an elimination game, and he's given it all he has. So, like, yeah, I think that part of him's like, there's no way I'm coming out now after that, but he also was the best option to be the pitcher at that point.
Yeah, I don't question Gerrit Cole's tenacity, his desire, his toughness, his ability to show up in a big spot. The only thing I question about him is why he stopped and why he didn't do what he has done 1,000 times in the biggest spot in the game. Because after that, that's when, you know, the floodgates opened for the Dodgers and got them back into the game. You know, they were flat until the drop fly ball, and then comes the Volpe error, and then comes this non-play by Gerrit Cole, and then comes the Freddie Freeman single.
Yeah, I mean,
then the double.
Right, once you give them that opportunity, it's over, especially when you're talking about the middle of that lineup with guys like Betts, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Muncy, just going on and on. Let's go to Mike in Belmar, New Jersey. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. You guys are doing a great job covering this. Awful, awful loss, but the biggest question I would have if I could possibly get in front of Boone and ask him is not about the discipline and he's got to discipline these guys and do this and do that. It's the question of they are professional athletes. It's their profession. When was the last time they did PFPs? When you're looking at this team and how bad fundamental. It's not like a something that happened yesterday. That was it. They've been a bad fundamental team all year long. And when you have these bad fundamentals, and it's obvious all year long, is there anything being done to change? Hey, you know what? Let's start going. Let's start doing infield, outfield, and PFPs before a game because it's repetition. And if it's done repetitively, yeah, he knows what he's supposed to do. But like, when does this get lost? Like, are you doing those things? That's my question.
What I want to know too
when was
is
the last spring training. Like, was it last time you did it in spring training?
Yeah,
was the last time they did PFPs in spring training?
Yeah, do you know if other teams might do this during the season? Like, I would like to know that. I mean,
But if other teams in professional sports aren't having problems with fundamentals and it's not obvious, if you're not focusing, but if you're having problems with the fundamentals of baseball at a certain point, can you make an adjustment? Like, can you do things a little different?
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're going to go back. You know what? Guys, we're struggling with fundamentals. You can still be their friend. You can
especially be a good player, and
go into fundamentals.
Yeah, I would say you could do that because you had a plenty of space in between their last game and the start of the World Series. You could have a day of fundamentals just kind of refresh everybody, just to go out there and practice.
Also, into the regular season,
right.
The ALDS.
But I'm going to say, Mike is like so many Yankee fans who have called into us this season, all season long, about the sloppiness of the team in the field. Whether it be running the bases or not backing up or not hitting the cutoff man or misplaying a ball off the field, you know, off the fence. I mean, like, how many times have we taken calls from Yankee fans this season about this exact problem?
Yeah, I all of it, I think it's a little more nuanced than that in the sense of not everything is the same. Like, the base running stuff to me is that's something that absolutely could have been cleaned up at some point during the season.
But, dude, it's the same thing. Like, you know, like, let me
but just, like, the Aaron Judge thing, like, that's not a, like, that's a bizarre mistake.
So we're in, like, game four. There's a potential double play, and Gleyber Torres gets the ball, and he flips it to Volpe, and Volpe's all 5'10", and Volpe's got to reach up to get the ball because it's not put in the right spot, and he almost gets the guy out. I think they called him out, and then there was a replay where he was safe. That was one of those replays, but that you know, it doesn't go down as an error, it doesn't go down as anything, but that is a miscue by Gleyber Torres. Because he doesn't throw the ball in the right spot for Volpe to make the play. And it's little things and nuanced things like that that, and John Smoltz and Joe Davis were talking about it all series. You got to be fundamentally sound if you want to beat the Dodgers. You got to be fundamentally sound. And it's something that has been plaguing this baseball team all season long. So Mike is just a long list of Yankee fan callers who have called in and complained about this same thing.
Do you think Anthony Volpe's a good shortstop?
I think he's a terrific player.
He's a good shortstop,
yes,
like defensively?
I do. Yeah, I do.
All right, so like,
that throw,
he should be able to make, but 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, and he didn't do it in the biggest spot. So I'm like, does he need to work on that more, or did he just F it up?
Well, you know what? Listen, it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of in the moment, but the night before he hits the grand slam, he comes out the next inning, makes a unbelievable backhanded stab. Here's the thing. Anthony Volpe is a winning player. He's got a winning attitude. He's a winning player. And I'm not paying him $50 million right now. I'm getting a major performance out of somebody who I think is a great locker room guy, shows up every day, appreciates what he's doing, and that is a winning ball player.
I don't want what I'm trying to get lost in this. I'm really curious because this is something that I don't have the answer to, and I don't know if we're ever going to find the answer to it. But like the discussion of we need to work on this, we need to work on that, why didn't they work on it more? These specific instances, would they have happened if they worked on them more during the regular season still? Because there's still a real possibility that they would have.
Yeah, I hear about a lot of guys working on things. Like, we always hear that. This guy works on stuff. He comes here, he works. He gets his work in. He works extra hard. Aaron Judge is like, working real hard.
Like Greg Zuerlein and Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, they're working hard.
Yeah.
Everybody's working hard. And sometimes when the play is there to be made, it doesn't get made for whatever reason.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like not everybody's a robot. And other teams have big-time defensive deficiencies as well. We've seen it throughout the year. But I don't know. It's just one of these things where you get to a certain level of a professional athlete, and sometimes there's no specific reason why it's happening. Like Aaron Judge, like him taking his eye off the ball there is just like inexplicable. And for that to happen in that moment is crazy.
And you also had the two Goombas out in right field. The grabbing Goombas, the Goomba grabbers that got this whole thing started. Everybody's got to have a mascot. Everybody's got to have something. And the 2024 New York Yankees now have the Goomba grabbers and the main guy, Austin Capabianco, who I think was the catalyst for this win last night. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. You know, when I saw Austin do what he did to Mookie Betts, I thought initially, I said, is that Sean Marash? That's who I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I could not believe, first and foremost, it's hilarious. You can look at it any which way you want. I was just happy that Mookie Betts didn't get hurt.
Yeah, of course.
You
know, that would have been a problem.
That's the most important thing. And then Mookie, after the game, basically just said, it doesn't matter. We lost. He's fine. I'm fine. I didn't get hurt. It's all good. You know, Mookie was swearing back at Austin and his buddies. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is where social media, in my eyes, it's either like spot on or just absolutely tears into somebody. Mm-hmm. And every anti-Yankee fan out there that is on social media just ripped Austin a new one. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, like, he looked ridiculous. And you couldn't have got, like you said, Goomba, whatever that is. But it's whatever the stereotypical Yankee fan is, that's that guy.
Oh, yeah. Side.
There he is. And he doesn't even have a Yankee hat on, but he's got a road jersey on that he probably got from somebody. He's ripping the ball out of his hands. The other guy's holding on to Mookie Betts' other hand. I mean, it's asinine. But, you know, it is what it is, and the Yankees ended up winning.
Like, if you asked AI, make me the Goomba Yankee fan, they would pop that Austin Capabianco right out.
Or Sean Marash.
Well, yeah, but this guy's also got, you know, the Italian last name, which is perfect. And he's from Connecticut. I was hoping he was from Staten Island because that really would have been.
Or the Bronx.
Yeah, but I mean, the Staten Island Italian Yankee fan is the one that I needed him to be. But,
oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous last night. And then immediately, I mean, I don't know how many views or memes there are of Austin now. You have had your 15 minutes of fame, but man, he is getting blowtorched.
Yeah, and so they got thrown out last night. They are season ticket holders. They're allowed back tonight. I'm sure that guy has called this radio station before. I can guarantee you he's called up and ripped Brian Cashman. I hope he calls today. But here were some quotes that he gave to ESPN last night. He said that him and the other guy, Peter, often discuss this exact scenario. If a foul ball comes their way,
premeditated,
they're going to do what they can to help their team. Quote, we always joke about the ball in our area, Capabianco said at a local bar after the game. We're not going to go out of our way to attack, but if it's in our area, we're going to D up.
See, this is the way the Yankee player has to react. I mean, the fan reacted like the players needed, and ultimately did react, but you know, it's kind of interesting because
we're gonna D up.
I mean, so the ball is actually in the stands when Mookie catches it, right?
Yeah, but they ended up calling interference on it anyway.
Well, I mean, they called interference on it, but I mean, once the ball is over that wall, the fan can really do whatever they want. It's when the fan reaches out into the.
That's what I believed it to be,
right?
But
I don't know.
I mean, this was obviously way too much.
Yeah, I mean Mookie caught the ball. We all saw Mookie caught the ball. It was an out. It was a great play by Mookie, by the way.
Right, and then the guys just say, "This is our area. This is our area." It's unbelievable. But the face on the Austin Capabianco when the ball comes out and he's like looking at it in slow motion, he's like. Oh, it's just unbelievable. But
look at him. I mean, it's just it's got Sean Marash written all over.
No,
it.
Of course it's the same. His hat's a little sideways. I mean, he's obviously
chunky,
overweight, the whole thing. I mean,
chump, sure.
Sean wouldn't do that though. I don't think Sean would do that. But I mean, you get an intense Yankee fan with some alcohol in him. His team's down 3-0. He's been in those seats the entire year.
His team is down 2-0 at the moment.
Exactly. I mean, so they did it. Now,
as Freddie Freeman goes yard again.
Now, there is no doubt about it. So I heard in the first segment this morning, Al and Jerry talking about this, and Jerry just absolutely hates the idea of these guys getting any attention. But I agree with Al that if the Yankees somehow pull off this miracle and win this World Series, that those guys will be on a parade float. There is no doubt.
Those guys will be
celebrated like you would not believe. And Jerry could say, you know, these morons, who cares? They should be thrown out. If the Yankees pull off a miracle and win this World Series, those guys, they might be in Monument Park.
I have to say to you that, because it'll be something that nobody's ever done. But here's the thing that I'm looking at this guy, and I'm just saying to myself, man, I don't know if Yankee fans were cringing over it or they were happy to see it.
Well, I think
it
depends on who you are, what age you are. You know, it's the same thing as everything else, like how you perceive these things. I mean, that's something that, like, I'll admit, maybe if I was 22 years old, I don't think I've been that aggressive. I might have said something or tried to, like, hit the glove or something. Like, I would have maybe at 22. This guy's 38. You know, like, he's pushing 40. It seems like a little bit too much of an adult to be pulling off something like that. But for me, it was pure entertainment. Like, it just
What I'm saying. Like, for me, it actually...
You grow up in this area, you pay attention to people around here, you watch Yankee games, you know Yankee fans, you watch that, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can see it any other way, it's hilarious.
I immediately, obviously, opened up X.
Yeah.
And just the flood of stuff coming in. I mean, that was worth the price of admission, if you ask me. Just, I mean, I was, like, distracted from the game just reading all the X-posts.
Oh, no, of course, I know.
It was hilarious.
I mean, it was, yeah.
I mean, look, I hate the fact that it happened like that, and I'm just glad that Mookie Betts didn't get hurt. But I just sat there and said, I can't believe this guy just did this. I mean, but it wasn't like he tried to hit the glove or anything. I mean, he was grabbing the glove and trying to pry that ball out of
it. And he got it out.
He got it out. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was he thinking that maybe, just maybe, that, you know, Glaber would have retained, you know, would have been able to go back to at that or not?
No, I mean, I think he's like, you know, the way that they're thinking is if he comes over the stand.
Yeah,
like,
this is my spot. Just pointing to the top.
Yelling at Mookie Betts. Yeah, I mean, hey, they think they have an effect on the game. You know, and if he actually was, like, way over into the stands and they knocked it out, then, yeah, it's not fan interference because he's in the stands. But I think the way they looked at it was it was still in the field of play in their eyes. It was very close. It was very close.
It's hilarious. I mean, more you watch it, I know... Don't find this to be funny. I find it to be hilarious.
No, I mean, it is just because of where the stereotypical Yankee fan. Like, it just, and we know that person. Those are our people, by the way.
So,
like, I mean, those are the people who listen to this radio station. Those people that call this radio station. These are the people that, you know, Austin Capabianco's, there's going to be, you know, 1,000 of them at Boomer and Geo Live cheering for us. Like, those are our people. Whether we like it or not, those are our people.
So, for all the Yankee fans that work here that we know, let's put Sean Marash in there, Chris McMonagle in there.
McGonagall.
Let's put Keith McPherson in there, who's the biggest cheerleader of all time.
Yeah. BT.
And those four guys sitting in those seats, are they doing that?
No.
You sure?
No, because they're...
I'm thinking that Keith McPherson would do it.
No. No, see, I don't...
Anything for his team to win, man.
I understand that, but I feel like, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, Keith goes in, he'll have a press pass. I think the job is too important to them.
He could be there Instagramming the whole thing live.
Yeah, I just don't think so. Like, you don't want that call from the architect. What are you doing? You know, like,
I think the architect would say, keep doing it, because it raises your profile.
Yeah, but there's two sides of that. So it raises the profile, but we're partners with the Yankees. And if the Yankees are mad that happened and made them look bad, then that would override the, hey, you made yourself more important as a talk show host.
Well,
it'd be a curious thing. I'd want to see how that would be reacted.
I would just say that, you know, this guy, Austin, Coppa Bianco?
Cappa Bianco.
Cappa Bianco.
And you know what that means in Italian? White head.
Shoot a white guy.
No. White head.
All right. Cappa Bianco.
Yeah. Cappa Bianco. White head.
Okay. All right. I was just going to say, no, I was thinking that, you know, the Yankees are letting these guys come back to tonight's game. I'm wondering, are they going back to tonight's game and will Fox show? Actually, he looked like a little, like, Fat Joe in the stands.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's like a Fat Joe guy in the stands.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's got to be a Fat Joe listener.
Maybe.
Got to be.
Maybe not. But, 38-year-old Austin Capabianco and his other buddy there. So let's go back to the 11 teams with Juan Soto. Let's actually narrow this down now, all right?
Well,
so,
we know who they all are, and I'm sure the Dodgers are on that list. I'm sure San Francisco's on that list. I'm sure.
Hold on, let's do this here.
The real question is, are the Angels on that list? You know, because they're the ones that lost Shohei Ohtani.
All right, hold on. So let's go here. Let's do this one by one, all right?
Why are we doing it one by one?
Because I want to have, because we're just like, I'm sure this team, I'm sure that team. No, I want to really know.
All right, Mets, Yankees.
All right, so here we go. Mets, Yankees.
Obviously. Blue Jays.
You love the Blue Jays in this spot, huh?
The Giants. The Padres.
Hold on. I mean, what am I, AI here? Mets, Yanks, Blue Jays.
Do you have shorthand?
No, I have to write everything out. Giants, Padres.
Right.
So I got Mets, Yanks, Blue Jays, Giants, Padres.
Rangers.
Dodgers.
Do you believe that the Braves would give it a run?
No, I don't.
I don't think the Cubs.
Cardinals?
I could see the Cardinals, yeah.
I'm going to put them on there.
How many teams are we up to now?
See, this is why I wanted to do this. See, we're just tossing them out. We don't even know how many numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, so we need 3 more teams.
Red Sox?
Wait,
I got a better one than that. Phillies.
The Phillies, definitely.
Phillies, Red Sox, you think?
I think the Red Sox. Now, the question is, there's nobody in the Central. The Guardians, the Royals, the Tigers, the Twins. He ain't going anywhere. He's not going there. No. How about the Astros?
No, I don't think so, because they can barely sign their own. All those guys end up leaving, signing elsewhere.
But they may end up losing Bregman.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think so.
Did you put the Angels and Rangers on there?
I didn't put the Angels, but the Rangers
They just lost Shohei Ohtani.
So, right.
But he's also going to want to go somewhere. Okay, I'll take the money, but I also would like to win.
He's taking every last dollar.
Right, so the Angels would stick him with Mike Trout, and hopefully Mike Trout can get healthy again and have a full season.
All right, so you comfortable with this 11? Ready? Mets, Yanks, Blue Jays, Giants, Padres, Rangers, Dodgers, Cardinals, Phillies, Red Sox, Angels. We missing anybody?
The Brewers are not doing it. The Cubs are not doing it. The Reds are not doing it. The Pirates are not doing it. The Diamondbacks, I don't think, are doing it. And the Rockies are definitely not doing it. So, yeah. So, I would say, yeah, we're right on it.
I just got more information about this double leech spot.
It's amazing how much information comes your way.
Brought his girlfriend, too. I mean,
he's got a girlfriend? That's good.
That's good.
That is welcome news, because that means he's happy.
Okay. I mean, geez. He really took advantage. I mean, Eddie didn't bring his wife.
And plus, you know, if he's sitting in those seats, is that free food there?
There's free food at the tailgate. I don't think there's free food once you get in.
So now he brought his girlfriend. Now he's showing off. Hey, look at me. Look at who I hang out with. These are the people I rub elbows with.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I actually did know he had a girlfriend because we asked him to be a part of Boomer and Geo Live, and he can't because he's going to Wicked with his girlfriend that night.
Holy Christ, what is going on with him? All right, so... did you get a thank you from him? Did I get a thank you from him? Does he owe us a thank you or no? You think it's just a
he's thanking. He's going to thank Joe. He's going to thank Sean. He's not even thinking about us. Not even close to that. That's not even in his world thinking about us in his spot.
Well, he's out.
You're declaring him out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wasn't going to go that far. I just wanted to You know, sort of like with Malachi Corley. Like, I was like thinking, you know, I'll cut him. And you're like, no, 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 don't do that. That's too extreme. You just teach a teaching moment.
Time out. Did we not send him to the Knicks down in Atlanta? All expenses paid.
Mm-hmm.
Owner's box.
Yep, you did that.
Like a, got treated like a king. No, yeah. We did that.
Yeah, you know, that was a huge deal. Yep. I mean, unfortunately, it didn't work out for the Knicks, but it gave us amazing content for the radio station. He got thrown out of the owner's box by Jamie Gertz. He dapped up Grant Hill. He had his sweaty shoulders out in the owner's box. Yep. Jamie Gertz said, I'm uncomfortable with you being in here. I mean, that is...
I wonder if he smelled.
I mean, he's probably sweaty in that situation.
If he, you know, if he had his hairy shoulders and armpits out, then he had a smell. And that's probably why she was uncomfortable with him being in there.
It's probably,
and she used the whole Nick fan thing as the cover.
Yeah.
Like if she would have walked up to him and said, hey, look, man, you smell, and I don't want to see your hairy armpits eating our food, that would be a tough one.
It's true. All right. So you feel like he's done. I'm not ready to say he's done. I'm more upset at the fact that he's not switching around the thing for Boomer and Geo Live. That's a more upset about that. You know, it's like I would think he would come running in that situation.
And he's going to Wicked.
With his girlfriend.
Now he's going to Plays.
He's going to Plays. Yep.
So are we thinking he's becoming more refined?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's...
You think that he shows up at Wicked with a Nick jersey on?
With the hairy armpits out? Would they allow you in if you were just wearing a Knicks jersey with no undershirt?
They're not going to tell you not to go.
Big Zoo at Wicked. I mean, that is going to be a rough, because you know he's not walking in there sober, right? There's no way. They're going to go out to dinner beforehand.
True.
He's going to get himself bent. And he's going to walk in there with his hairy shoulders. And they're going to be doing the whole good witch, bad witch thing. And he's just going to be, we here, Alphaba.
Is there a Nick game that night, by the way? Because that would tell me a lot about where he's at.
No, there's not a Nick game that night.
There's not a Nick game that night.
Oh, they're on the West Coast, and there's not a game.
Okay.
I know that just because it's Boomer and Geo Live.
Let's go, baby!
What? What is... Oh, that's the Reds autograph.
Yeah, Reds autographed that for me.
Yeah, the Red Bulls mascot. I was like, what is that? Took me a second there. But yeah, it's a nice little autograph. He's got his horns and everything else. Yeah, there's no Nick game. Wicked.
Okay. Big Wicked night for the Big Zoo. We outside, baby!
All right, so I don't want to get any more distracted on that. Boomer, his call is a final call that Sue is now out of the inner circle. So you've got...
Because you can see Joe. Joe's like, hey, take care of my man Big Zoo here.
Yeah.
So Joe's playing...
Hey, Sean is his guy, producer of my show. He's a huge freaking Jets fan. He would love this. Doesn't get to do anything ever. They pay him like, you know, 5 cents to produce my show, if you know what I mean. This guy would love that. He's got a girlfriend he's trying to impress... You know, would you mind, you know, Brian, I know if you have extra tickets, he would love that. Yeah, have him call me. Next thing you know, Zoo and his girlfriend. Look at this. Look at this, honey.
But you think it was more the Zoo initiated this or Joe?
I think probably it was like a both thing. Like Joe was like, man, like this is so nice. Zoo was probably like, oh, I'd love to go to a game like that. I'll ask him.
I just think that Joe now is... using the entree we were able to provide, helping his friends and his family and his coworkers.
That's why it's double secret leech spot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the Jets connection, Joe might have just like surpassed you guys in terms of the closeness to Sean.
And by the way, I don't know how much you guys listened really closely to the game last night. Al Michaels was at his snarkiest.
Oh my God.
In the first half. And As the show is opening, who do they show? Fireman Ed.
Mm-hmm. He said, what was it? He was like, you know, people in this area are always hacked off about something. Did you hear him say that?
Well, he's right.
I know, but it was just funny.
You don't normally hear it. I actually laughed at that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he's exactly right.
He did not. He did not want to be in New York calling that game in that first half. He did not want to be here.
Oh, he was, you know, and of course there's Fireman Ed, and then there's the whole brouhaha of about this and that. Yeah, because the Jets aren't scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. Can't just put Fireman Ed up there when another team's kicking your ass. So I'm sure they got a lot of Fireman Ed on the board last night in the second
hopefully
half.
Hopefully he's okay and his feelings aren't hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew that it was Aaron Rodgers that was pushing him out. You know, it was without a doubt. But then once it got into the papers and stuff, it made Aaron look bad. So we're like, all right, we got to make sure that.
No.
That was definitely what was going on. No. I'm convinced.
I will say, though, the cayenne pepper water worked last night in the second half.
Have you ever tried that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually thinking about doing it.
Do it.
I do it.
I do it.
The Sims Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How we doing? Hey, listen, Gio.
Yeah.
If you're going to make fun of my ass, okay, let's do it the right way. You know, if you're going to say, it's Phil, you got to say a little southern accent. Phil.
Phil.
Yeah, Phil. There you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we got
right.
Everybody
right.
Over here at the radio station saying, oh my gosh, there, my cuddly toy friend. You know, when I hear that that Best Friend song and they you know, you listen to the words and you're saying cuddly toy, that's not what I think of Phil Sims.
No.
Well, not cuddly at all.
No, I don't even know what to say to that.
Hey, how'd you feel about the James Brown comments on the Jimmy Trina podcast where he said that he missed you and Boomer?
Yeah, that was very nice. I did hear that. That was yesterday. Did y'all talk about that yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
And
yeah,
he said nobody prepared more than you. That's what James Brown said.
Well, that's what I like to tell people. It's not really true. So, no. But, hey, what else am I going to do? So I do. I like to watch football games. Big deal. It's, you know, people say, you watch the games, all of them, every week? And I go, yeah. Just think, I have to watch football. That's my job, the games. And all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, it's fun. I like trying to find out. I'm nosy, just like Boomer.
Yeah, and watching the Jets is a chore these days. That's not fun. I don't care what you say.
Yeah,
so just go. Say whatever you want to say about that train wreck.
Well, I'll say this about the Jets. First and foremost, I thought their offense was more expanded more, had more plays, more thoughts and all that against the Patriots. I thought Aaron Rodgers played well. Of course, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, a lot of good stuff there. They did everything to help their team win. And then the most fearful, whatever you want to say, defense in the NFL, this is what's going to take us to the Super Bowl. It lets them down on the last drive with Jacoby Brissett in there, who was the backup quarterback. They made mistakes on the last drive. They gave up big plays. They let the quarterback scramble for 14 yards. They had a blitz, and they forgot to cover somebody. And then the big one, the big throw down the field to Boutte, who was dropping everything for the Patriots, all of a sudden makes a great catch, and you just sit there and watch the game and go, they're going to lose. It's not going to happen. And many reasons why. The kicking game was terrible. So there you go.
Yeah, they're they're in a weird spot, Phil, and for a lot of different reasons, whether it be Aaron's personality, whether it be trying to get, you know, Davante Adams in the mix. You know, one of the things I asked Gio, and I thought maybe I was seeing things, and then went back and watched the tape again. Is there a reason why, like, Garrett Wilson keeps falling down after he makes a catch or feels like he has to go down to make every catch on the ground?
Well, I don't know the reason. I think the fact a couple times I would just say he's his first thought is to really just to make sure and secure the catch. So he gives everything up to get both hands, both arms, and to just to be careful not to drop it. That's I know what you're talking about. A few of those throws, you think, well, he could have just ran through the pass and maybe picked up a lot of extra yards. But I think that's what it is, just trying to just secure the catch and not worry about catching him running. So
yeah, my thing is, like, a great receivers, you know, he's a good receiver. I know Adam Archuleta was really extolling his virtues during the game, and I'm not saying that they were all that accurate of passes coming his way. And I just felt like, you know, some guys run and they'll snatch the ball with their hands and they'll keep running. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I guess I'm nitpicking here, but I want to see a guy that is supposed to be a number one 1A receiver, you know, make more plays after he gets the ball in his hands.
Well, I look down at there. I got a sheet in front of me that I write about each game a little bit. And I got Garrett Wilson, 5 catches, 113 yards. And this is exactly what it says. Could have and should have been more. So maybe that goes into what you're saying when I watch the game and everything. But I don't know about the Jets. It's funny. They got the offense going, and I do mean it. I thought they presented more plays and more thoughts. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, look, he made a lot of great throws. And now you just wish when you watch the game, you wish New England would have scored a little earlier because Aaron Rodgers was definitely going to get him down there to try at least get a field goal try.
Good luck with that. That's a fiasco. I would imagine that they're going to have a new kicker Thursday night. So now no Steph Diggs for the Houston Texans. Obviously a huge loss for them because he had the most receptions out of this wide receiving crew. But your assessment of the Texans, they're 6-2. They're running away with the South. I feel like I guess Indianapolis is right on their heels. They're going with Joe Flacco now. But your sense of the Texans and where they are, and this is probably a game where it's hard to believe the Jets are favored in this game.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. Nico Collins out, Tank Dell out.
Steph Diggs is out.
Yeah, Steph Diggs is definitely out. And Tank Dell is out too, if my recollection is right here. But no, he's going to play. Sorry. I'll get it straight here in a minute.
Oh, you're confusing me now. Hold on for a second.
Yeah, I'm confused too. I was writing it down. I am confused, but whatever.
Yeah, Tank Dell is playing.
Yes.
Yes, he is playing. Yeah, Collins is out and Steph Diggs is out, right? Did I get that right?
Yes, Nico Collins is out until week 10.
Right. Okay, there we are. We're all settled down here now.
Okay.
You know, I would say this about the Houston Texans. It's not what it was last year. They're trying to find their way. They've had a lot of injuries. When you look at their depth chart, man, it's just red with people that are hurt, stuff like that. C.J. Stroud is taking more hits, throwing the football under much more pressure than I saw him under last year. You know, they move him around. He's elusive, all those things. The offensive line, it's having its problems. So, you know, you're right. I can understand why the Jets are favored Thursday night, their place. I guess a team that's beat up and really struggling more than we saw last year. So this is going to be interesting for the Jets.
Well, obviously firing Robert Saleh, at least in the short term here, has not worked. The team is 0-3 under Jeff Ulbrich. Do you think that the defense had its problems simply because Ulbrich now is asking to do more as being the head coach as well as just being the defensive play call, which we may have a difference come Thursday night for the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine it really is affecting him that much. In other words, you know, the head coach, there's a lot of things to do, of course. You know, who's hurt? What are we doing? How are we going to practice? Do all that. But I still think there would be plenty of time left, and there's many coaches that can kind of do both, that he can get ready to have the defensive game plan, have it set, and everything like that. I mean, it was there for the Jets last week, big time. It really was. But down, when it counted on that last drive, they just made mistakes. They gave up plays they shouldn't have. And Jacoby Brissett against a big blitz makes a really good throw down the field. And once that throw happened, you just go, like the Jets are going to lose this game. And I'll give New England a little credit, though. They did a great job and fought hard to play better. But the quarterback did a good job getting them down the field.
Phil, I know you're probably not going to like this question. You're like, you know, breaking down what's happening right now and going too far into the future. I could tell you're probably not going to love it. But when I look at the Giants, this is a team that's going nowhere again. I actually like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and I hope that John Mara keeps them there for the next regime and the next quarterback and all of that. Do you think that there's a chance that this season goes off the rails in the way that it did with Joe Judge and the way that it did with Ben McAdoo that led to their early firings? Or do you believe that Brian Daboll is going to be able to keep this thing together enough to be able to be handed the keys back next year?
I'll say this, and I think about this, of course, all the time as I watch the games. And each week I think, well, I hope the Giants can pull a victory out to settle everything down with the franchise, with the fans, with you guys on the radio, whatever. And I think they can. I know that they're kind of the same thing when I talked about the Jets. I thought the Giants showed a little more hope on the offense this past week against Pittsburgh. You know, more plays. I mean, the swinging gate play, wow, that was unbelievable. It really was. Boomer, did you ever run that play in high school, college, or anything like that?
Yeah, we ran it, and, you know, everybody was aware of what the hell was going on. For some reason, and this also happened on the strip sack by T.J. Watt, you know, he's supposed to move the tight end over there. Illuminor thinks he's getting a chip. He sets a different way, and T.J. Watt comes over, and Daniel doesn't, you know, get the position right or doesn't get the formation right. I mean, these kinds of things keep happening, and this is our responsibility as quarterbacks. And you and I talk about this, and we have been talking about it for years. Communication, making sure everybody knows what's going on, and if there's a tip that needs to be given, you give the tip to the guy that you're getting ready to throw the ball to, or you remind the guy, hey, guys, special red alert, we got a special play, get ready, get your heads out of your asses, and let's go.
Well, that's pretty well said. You know, the swinging gate, you take your offensive line and throw them out there. And you catch the defense by surprise, and they caught Pittsburgh by surprise. And it's just count the numbers. Do we have more guys out there than they do? So we throw it out there. If they run a bunch of people out there, then we run another play and go up the middle and get the two-point conversion. So it was hard to – that was one play I just went, wow, how can you mess that up? It's really simple. I actually ran it twice in college. Very lucky I got two touchdown passes out of it. But it is. It's just numbers. It's easy. It shouldn't have been a mistake. It was a big mistake once again by the Giants in that situation. And when you talk about that and you talk about taking care of the best pass rusher on the other team, those are mistakes you cannot make. It would be like us playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, here was how we blocked them. Everybody's got their guy, and the free guy, the fifth guy, make sure you find Reggie White and go double-team him. And, you know, that's kind of what you have to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Same thing with Lawrence Taylor. Where's 56? Find him, and this is the way
we're sliding the line. Make sure we double-team him.
We're sliding the line that way. We're sending it back that way. We're sending everybody over there because we don't want that guy to wreck the game like T.J. Watt wrecked the game. That's a game-wrecking play. And the quarterback did not have the wherewithal on the road in the biggest moment to have the right freaking formation. And that's the thing that pisses me off more than anything. And
wow.
That's the thing that just drives me crazy, because that is our responsibility.
Geo, gosh almighty.
By the way, your other great quarterback from your franchise, Eli Manning, called it on the Manning cast. As the play is unfolding, he's got to get the tight end over there to the right. And even Eli knew it was supposed to happen.
I mean, even Eli?
But in the moment, Eli knew it. I saw that the replay, and to his credit, Eli basically said, you got to get the guy over there. And then when he didn't move him over there and the strip sack happened, you could see how exasperated Eli was because Daniel didn't do the right thing.
Yeah, but we all know that Daniel Jones isn't the answer here. And this is what I was trying to get at. I mean, it's like we spin around in circles for the last how many friggin' years talking about Daniel Jones. He's not going to be the guy who is the answer for them. So really what I want to know, and this is the only question surrounding the Giants right now, Will Joe Shane and Brian Daboll be here and be allowed to select the next quarterback for this team?
Okay, well, first off, I'll answer that, Gio. But first off, it's an epidemic in the NFL, Boomer, when you talk about when the defense blitzes, we mess it up somehow, or not doing things like we saw with Daniel Jones against T.J. Watt. I watched so many games, and I go, oh, my God, why can't we block that guy and throw it down the field? It's almost every game, every team, for some reason, well, I do kind of know the reasons, I'm not going to get into it, they make mistakes about picking up the blitz. And for Daniel Jones, I would say this, if I was a betting man, Gio, I would bet heavy that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will be back next year with this team. You know, to shake it up one more time And to start over, it in the front office with the quarterback and whatever else you want to talk about, I think that's too much. So they had a great fight in them the other night against Pittsburgh. I saw a difference in the team, a little more energy, more plays. So I think they'll be able to hold it together enough where John Mara, who are, and all the guys that make that decision for the Giants, they'll know that they got to give Joe Shane and Brian Daboll just one more chance.
All right. I think I know this answer because you and I speak regularly about the different things because I know you like evaluating quarterbacks, and I know that you've been watching a lot of college football, and we have talked about it. Let's say the Giants have the first overall pick in the draft. Who is the quarterback that they will select out of a list of Shedeur Sanders, Cameron Ward, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe, and Carson Beck?
Well, I don't have an answer for that yet. I'm not sure about any of them as far as, you know, you and I did talk, and I said, you know, Boomer, this quarterback clash that everybody keeps talking about, all these guys going in the first, it's not going to happen. It's just not. You know, as we watch the games, we see guys just go, okay, he just went from the first round to about the fourth round. I mean, it's just, you know, the two that jump out at you, I guess, a little is Shedeur Sanders and then Cam Ward. And I look at Cam Ward, yeah, I think he's a really, really good college quarterback, but I got to see more and think about it and study him and all that. I don't look at him and go, wow, that's the first pick of the draft. I guess if I looked at any of them right now, it would be Shedeur Sanders would be the guy that I would say he at least crosses out a lot of the things you like. Size, mobile enough, good arm, accurate, lots of experience. So I think he's ahead of the whole class when I look at it.
Carson Beck. He also has a dad that's going to be a pain in the ass who probably doesn't want his kid to come to New York. He's basically kind of said, I'm going to be picking where my kid's going. I think he's going to the Raiders myself, if I had to guess. Now, let's just take him off the board. So what about this kid, Quinn Ewers at Texas, the guy that's sitting in front of Arch Manning?
Well, you watch a lot of college football. You guys do. When I watch him, let's see. I'll ask you a question. Now, give me the answer within a couple seconds. What's his great attribute? Go.
Arm strength.
No, come on. Not even close.
Eddie Scazzeri says leadership, and he is our king of college football and Fakakta football here. He said leadership is Quinn Ewers' greatest asset.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Leadership.
All right, so.
When you talk about a franchise quarterback, give me something that is physically going to make him the franchise quarterback. It's not just leadership. Okay. That's down the line.
All right, let me ask you this question. J.J. McCarthy, if he were in this draft, would he be the first first quarterback picked?
Well, what I saw about him in preseason, what little we got of him and everything, I would say absolutely. I mean, I got to tell you, he got on the pro field when I just watched it in preseason. I just couldn't get over how good he looked, how fast, how mobile in his arm. He does have a really strong arm, and he's accurate. So, yes, he would have been the first guy probably in my eyes, especially after what I saw in preseason, what little we did see of him.
Of the rookie quarterbacks, I know everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels, and we have spoken about him. How about Bo Nix and what he's doing in Denver right now?
Just gets better every single week. I mean, this past week was another episode of Bo Nix making plays, moving around. He's running great, throws really well on the run, got size. I mean, Sean Payton has found his guy. He's got just a newer version of Drew Brees. And this guy's a little more athletic than Drew probably was, moves around, stronger arm, and I love the offense they run. And it is, for a rookie quarterback, Sean Payton is holding nothing back. It's all out. Let's go. And Bo Nix, it's fun to watch just because it's every play. He's got a little Fran Tarkenton in him. He's got all this stuff going on, man. I tell you, I didn't think he would fit into the NFL as fast as he has or as easy, but been very impressive. And, hey, what is it now? 5 in a row for the Denver Broncos. They've won, so it's working out pretty well.
Phil, always great to talk to you, and we will talk to you next week for sure. Enjoy what will be hopefully a fun Thursday night game with the Jets and the Texans.
We hope so, too. Gio, you didn't get to ask any questions, you know.
But the one I did ask, you know, you didn't answer. It took forever to
get
it.
Mean,
oh, because we got into something else. Did I answer the second time around?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Finally.
So, you kind of go, yeah. Hold it. Before you go, what do you think, Gio?
About what?
About that. When you look at it,
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, I want them to stay here, and I hope John Mara doesn't have that same impulse that he had with some of those other guys that he was probably right about. But I think that these guys are different. I think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are not Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge. They're not Pat Shurmur. They're not Ben McAdoo. I think these guys are better than that. And I don't want the Daniel Jones experiment to sink them. But there are some questions about some of these other Joe Shane draft picks, though, that's a little bit scary. But I would trust them to pick the next quarterback, especially after I saw the way that Brian Daboll loved Jaden Daniels in Hard Knocks in the offseason.
Yes. Well, I'll go back and say this one more time to just reaffirm it. I'd be really surprised if it gets to a situation where that would happen, where they would let him go. I think the team is showing some fight. They're getting better. This year's rookie class is really playing well for him out there. I think that's a really good plus for the Giants and Joe Shane and the organization. And to change, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine going through another change with the New York Giants. So I think you're right. I think they will be here, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
All right, Phil. Talk to you
all
soon,
right,
man.
Everybody have a good day.
Disaster last night for the Yankees. The season is over. Everything was going right until the fifth inning. Then they get the lead back. And honestly, watching this game, you know, I thought that the Dodgers needed to take the lead in the fifth. I really believed that if they were going to come all the way back and they were going to do this, they had to get the lead in the fifth. You know, then it's like really, really demoralizing. Then they go to their high leverage arms and try to win the game. They didn't. They tied the game. The Yankees take the lead, and somehow still the Dodgers win the game, somehow because Tommy Canley couldn't throw a strike. They load the bases up. Bases loaded, nobody out. You get the sack flies, and there you go. And the Yankees are now eliminated. Now, you know, where you go from here is going to be what we talk about for the next several months. But the feeling and the devastation and the anger this morning, I mean, none of it's going to lead to the changes that those Yankee fans, or the impulsive changes that they want. Like, there is no way that they are going to do anything as far as change management in Brian Cashman, his top hand guys, or Aaron Boone after a year that they go to the World Series. They're just not, regardless of how bad this game was.
Don't be so sure. I'm just saying,
would you say that?
I'm not locked in 100% on that.
Really?
No.
Why?
Just because of really it's the totality of the season and the way the season looked and the way the team played and the constant mistakes. And, you know, if they didn't play against the AL Central, I don't necessarily know they would have gotten to where they got. You know, they dominated that division this year. And I think there are teams that are around them. And let's say Juan Soto does leave them. That's going to leave a huge hole in their lineup that they're going to have to replace somehow. And I don't know. I feel like this was such a wasted opportunity for them.
All right. So you think that Brian Cashman's going to be here?
I would say, yeah.
Okay. All right. So do you think Brian Cashman make the call on the manager?
I think yes. I think he probably would tell, you know, Hal, I think I'd like to keep Aaron Boone because Aaron Boone is a good guy. He's a good manager. He's a good person. You know, we work well together. Right. There's no pushback. Yeah. But I'm saying is that I'm not 100% in agreement with what you're saying.
All right. So the reason I'm asking these questions is to lead into this point where the way that the Yankees and Brian Cashman look at their seasons is completely different than the way that the fans look at their seasons. Here are the examples, all right? Back in 2017, Astros are better. Yankees couldn't hit. Yeah, oh, they cheated. We found out about that. But, man, we still couldn't hit the baseball, and the Astros were in the midst of a dynasty. They actually, mini-dynasty, and they actually, once after the cheating scandal, still went and beat them. Brian Cashman's take, they cheated us out of a World Series, and people say we weren't there in 15 years, but if that team didn't cheat, then we would have been there. Okay, next time. 2022 ALCS. Astros wipe the floor
with the New York Yankees. Fans, man, we're so far away from the Houston Astros. Didn't even feel like we got a chance. We're in the same league as them. They got to make some changes. They got to fire the manager. They got to shake it up. Brian Cashman's take, we made it to the ALCS. You would have thought that we didn't make the playoffs the way that our fans are talking about it. All right? So what I'm saying is that now they've made it to the World Series. He was combative before the season, talking about all their successes. Now he's got, hey, we just made it to the World Series to fight back with. So if Brian Cashman's making that move, I think that he keeps Aaron Boone. Now, if anybody wants to fight back with the, well, Joe Girardi had him in the ALCS in 2017 and they fired him. Aaron Boone and Joe Girardi and the way that they are looked at in that clubhouse are completely different. And if when you go back and you listen to how that whole thing went down, the players were done with Joe Girardi. Done. He was too much. They're grinding them into dust. They had a problem with it. They called, you know, whatever that was, at the clipboard Joe or whatever it was. And Aaron Boone is beloved by the players. They love this guy. And then I think it was Susan or somebody on the post game. C-Mac said it. I didn't hear the post game. I heard the pregame. Susan said, if there's one thing that's clear about this team is how much the players love their manager. So that's why I just don't think I would be floored if they got rid of Aaron Boone. Floored.
Well, I just know that if they love him so much, why do they play like crap in the field?
I don't have an answer for that. That I don't have an answer for.
I mean, like the, I don't know. It's a tough deal because, you know, as a football player, you have to have total respect for your coach, and your coach has got to bring the best out in you, and he's got to hold you accountable different ways. He's got to push a lot of different buttons, and you know, we play 16 or 17 games. Now they play baseball. It's 162 games, and Aaron, I'm sure, has dealt with a lot of crap that we don't ever see. And he probably suppresses a lot of it and keeps it from getting absolutely insane.
Right.
And there's if there was a team that could actually snap, it could be the Yankees at any time, just simply because of the passion of the fans and the expectations of Yankee privilege. Mm-hmm. And he's done a really good job dealing with all of that. And there have been a lot of people that have been on him. The only reason I don't agree with you and your assessment 100% is because I do have to give a little bit of flexibility because they do have a group of people that are up there that have a lot of power and a lot of say. And you just never know when somebody has had enough or seen enough that has a say in the decision making and could push the envelope here to make it look like they're doing something. You know, and maybe pacifying the fans. But I also will say this about Brian Cashman, and this is where I do give him credit. You know, he normally goes out there and gets the guy that the fans want. You know, they sign Aaron Judge. They bring in Juan Soto. They traded for Giancarlo Stanton. They bring in Gerrit Cole. He gets those guys that the fans have their eyes on, and they pay them. So from that standpoint, I could see why he would be frustrated because he goes, I'm always getting the guys that everybody wants.
Yeah, I mean, the Giancarlo Stanton trade ended the pursuits of Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And that was a big thing where people were like, hey, if you didn't trade for Stanton, you'd be able to
trade happened, everybody thought it was a great trade.
Yeah, because it felt like you fleeced them and everything else. But there were still Yankee fans that were screaming about getting involved in that. And Yamamoto was another one that everybody wanted. Didn't happen. But you're right. I mean, they kept Aaron Judge. They signed Gerrit Cole. And people wanted them to trade for Juan Soto this offseason. They did. And we'll see if he ends up staying here. Gino and Edison, what's going on, Gino?
Hey, first time, long time. Love you guys. I just totally disagree with Boomer when he said Cole was the biggest mistake. Come on, that guy was pitching his butt off, and he's so tired. He's given everything, and he thought that Rizzo was going to just, you know, charge that ball and make a play. To me, that was not the worst mistake of the game, and I totally disagree with you and Boomer on that one. I mean,
he didn't run to first base because he was tired?
Well, he's pitching his butt off. His emotions.
You're right. He's pitching his butt off.
But he
couldn't get over there.
He could get over there. He stopped in his own words.
And by the way, if you watch the play, you know, I'm sure you watched it a thousand times like I have. And when you watch what Anthony Rizzo is going through, where he has to get in front of the ball to make sure that he, you know, catches the baseball. In the corner of his eyes, he also sees the pitcher starting his run to first base. He thinks that Gerrit Cole is going to go to first base. And then for whatever reason, Gerrit Cole decided to stop. And it wasn't because he was tired, you know. So stop with that nonsense.
I don't know. No, I'm not soft.
It sounds like you're making an excuse for a guy that has done this a thousand times.
He did his job.
He did not do his job on that play.
Judge didn't do his job dropping a ball. I'm sorry. I disagree.
Yeah, obviously we all know that.
Yeah, I mean, right. But this was even, that was in the same conversation. Yeah, Judge didn't do his job. Cole didn't do his job. Volpe didn't do his job.
By the way, hey, Gino, when Judge and Volpe didn't do their jobs, what did Cole do? He bowed up and he got the next two guys to strike out, and he got Mookie Betts to hit this little ground ball to first base.
Right. He wasn't.
And the only thing Cole didn't do was do what he's supposed to do and what he's done a thousand times, right, and that's go cover first base.
Right. And he didn't stop running there because he was tired. Had nothing to do with it. He stopped running there because he thought the ball was hit harder, and it wasn't.
Look at the Yankees just do what they're supposed to. Catch the ball in the outfield, make the play at third base. And you got strikeouts. I mean, they literally had six outs in that inning, if you think about it.
Yeah.
They gave up three of them.
Brian in Northport, what's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Sorry, I'm shooting a gun. I pull over to East Hills here, boom.
All righty.
I've never in my, I'm on the back nine of life, and I've never in my sporting career seen gone from such elation to devastation in one game, ever. It was incredible to watch. I put myself in a self-exile on the couch last night, slept on the couch. My 9-year-old woke me up this morning and said, "Let's go, Knicks." And that's where I'm at. It's crazy. I can't. And you look at Judge, that wasn't a physical error. That was a mental error. He wasn't watching the ball. He was watching the runner. You could see it.
Yeah.
It was all mental.
Yeah, and there was no reason for him to be paying attention to the runner in that situation.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's bizarre. I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, it, of all the things that could happen to have multiple superstars melt down with inexplicable mistakes in the same inning, it's hard to fathom. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.